Hey sis, you are not crazy, lazy, or ungrateful. You are just overloaded. You know something is off, but trying to figure out what it is feels like something else that you just don't have the capacity for. And that's why I created the Spiritual Wellness Check-In. This is not a quiz with cute personality anecdotes, but this is a clinically informed screening tool that helps you identify what kind of support you need right now without any of the guesswork. In under 3 minutes, you'll know whether you need to refocus, reconnect, or recover, and you'll get access to the tool to help you get started. Head on over to rxforpurpose.com/check-in. That's rxforpurpose.com/check-in, or click the link in the show notes to get started today. You don't need more suggestions. What you need is strategic support, and the Spiritual Wellness Check-In will help you with just that. This episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast is intended for therapists, coaches, and faith-based practitioners who hold space for others in spiritual, emotional, or personal development. While we'll discuss patterns that may be influenced by trauma or mental health, this episode is not a substitute for clinical supervision, diagnoses, or therapy. If you're not a licensed clinician, please operate within your scope and refer clients to a licensed mental health professional when appropriate. You are now listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to destination for women who are tired of feeling burnt out and stuck in the exhausting cycle of doing but not thriving. Each week, we'll provide you with Christ-centered mental wellness prescriptions to help you reclaim your peace, renew your purpose, and live life spiritually well. And if you're a therapist or a coach, the tools and insights that we curate here will help you make a Christ-centered impact on your clients today. Are you ready, sis? Let's get started. Hey, friend, and welcome to another episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. I'm excited because this is a new bonus episode that I'm dropping that I'm going to call for right now the Clinician's Corner. Okay. I'm going to call it the Clinician's Corner for right now. And this episode is for coaches, for therapists, for spiritual leaders, for the individuals who are holding space for others while you're navigating your own life. Over this past week, we talked about how familiarity can trap you in roles, in relationships, and in environments that no longer serve the person that you're becoming. But as a practitioner, you don't just need to be aware of the familiarity in your own life. You need to know how to disrupt it, how to name it, how to help clients move through it without stepping outside of your own professional scope. So I wanted to create these episodes and plan on doing them moving forward, depending on if it's something that you all find helpful as leaders. I want to continue to do these episodes. And also, we got to make sure that we have some ground rules. Okay. First, if you're a licensed clinician, meaning that you are a nurse practitioner, you're a therapist, like you have a license that you have to do CEUs for. You sit for boards. You have a license. Some of the tools that we talk about in these episodes will fit in your therapeutic toolkit. So things like narrative therapy, IFS, unpacking trauma, those things are for you. If you are a coach or an unlicensed spiritual leader, then your role is not to diagnose or to treat. You still have a very important role because you help clients recognize patterns. You help them reflect honesty. You help them clarify values, and you help them move forward with action. However, when trauma starts to surface, when there are things that are like deep grief patterns, your responsibility is to refer. It is not to help them reframe. And so I want to be clear about that, and I'll be clear about that every episode. I will make distinctions over here in the Clinician's Corner about, hey, if you're a coach, this is what you do, or this is when you refer. If you are a clinician, this is how you can move forward. So let me know if this episode blesses you, if you enjoy it. I'm not really sure that there are a lot of people making space to talk to other therapists, coaches, clinicians in a way that isn't, you know, from the big places, from the, you know, APA or something like that. So I'm excited to be able to break down our weekly episodes from a clinician perspective so that way you can be equipped to go out and help others. And y'all know I'm going to give a download. You know there's going to be a resource. Okay, so make sure you click the link in the show notes. Go ahead and get your clinician's pack. My goal and what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to likely have it be one download that will get constantly updated. So you have an entire plethora, okay, I like that word, and then a plethora of resources that you can utilize. And so I'm excited to be on this part of the journey. God laid this on my heart. And I'm here for it, period. Now, this week we talked about the cycle of familiarity, the cost, and a lot of us have to recognize, not even just for ourselves, but for the people that we serve, that familiarity is not a feeling, it's a pattern. Clients rarely walk into session and say, I think I'm stuck in a familiar, and it's a misaligned role. Right? Like that's not what we typically hear from clients. They may say things like, I'm so tired, but I can't slow down. I know this isn't working, but I don't know what to do. I feel like I'll disappoint God if I step away. I don't want to walk away from everything that I've built. I just don't know who I'd be without this. They're not describing confusion. They're not confused. Right? There isn't any confusion in what they're saying. What they're saying is, I'm stuck in a familiar place. And there is a lot of psychology behind why clients stay stuck. So we talked about this some in the episode, but I want to revisit it here as well. First, there's predictive coding. Your brain prefers what it can predict, even if it's painful. And so clients will often stay in cycles, not because they like them, but because their nervous system finds comfort in what is known. And uncertainty equals danger. And so familiarity is survival. There's the mirror exposure effect. So the more time that they've spent in something, in a role, a job, a relationship, in a belief system, they associate it with safety. Even if it's draining them. There is trauma adaptation. So clients who've survived instability, conditional love, performance-based worth, they will cling to familiar patterns that reward those same coping mechanisms of overfunctioning, of self-silencing, of controlling outcomes. And so letting go of the familiar, it really feels like they are inviting in abandonment or inviting in failure. And so that is a difficult thing for them to do. And then finally, identity fusion, where the client's role has become their sense of self. So stepping away just isn't scary. It literally feels like they're dying. Because if I'm not this, then who am I? And so as practitioners, it is our job to help them name the attachment without shaming the survival strategy. Especially if you think about the type of women who may be struggling with this. And I'm going to say women because that's who I mainly talk to, but any client, the type of people who struggle with this oftentimes are, again, trying to survive. They're often very self-critical. And so it is our goal to provide language without shaming them and letting them know, hey, this is something that you've been trying to do to survive. Don't allow this to shame you. We want to make sure that you understand that this is a way that your brain has tried to keep you safe and it's not working anymore. This is the way that your brain has been trying to keep you secure and yet you still feel insecure. And so we have to develop a better way. We talked about on this episode the four fallacies or lies of familiarity. And I want to deep dive into them and kind of break them down with some strategy for you to be able to apply in your sessions with clients if you recognize that they are dealing with a cycle of familiarity. So the first fallacy is that sunk cost fallacy. So I've invested too much to walk away. They will show up with guilt when you talk about quitting something. They over justify the time and the energy that they spend. They are constantly trying to attempt to fix something that clearly is no longer working. And so there's that sunk cost fallacy. They are trying to avoid grief. And there's even this inner conversation or dialogue of, if I try harder, it will work. So if you're a coach, the way and the strategy that you can utilize to walk your clients through this is some values clarification. So asking questions like, what matters more, honoring your time investment or honoring where God is calling you to? And then you can invite grief processing through journaling or reflection work. What would you need to mourn if you walked away? As a therapist, you could utilize narrative therapy to help rewrite or reauthor the story around that time investment and self-worth, and then unpack that anticipatory grief and internalized failure, those narratives that are really plaguing the client. You can utilize those to really help them process through this. And if you are a coach, if you notice that you start this with a client and there is a deep sense of loss or identity trauma, this is where you would refer a client. We do not process unresolved grief through action planning. So we want them to be able to deal with the grief. And if that is something that's beyond your scope, once you recognize, like, oh, this is deep, like deeper than what I have the capacity for and the scope of my practice, this is where you would refer them out. The next fallacy is, if I leave, it'll all fall apart. So over-responsibility, the savior complex, okay, I'm the glue, that language, anxiety when imagining delegation or stepping back, you'll see that in your clients. Now, what's underneath that? Parentification, hypervigilance, internalized worth through value, worth through rescue, rather. If I'm not rescuing somebody, then I have no value. That is what we see in clients who struggle with this fallacy. And so, as a coach, we can reframe control. What if letting it all fall apart makes sense? Or makes space, rather, for something better. We have to explore trust. What do you believe holds this thing together? Is it you? Is it the Lord? Is it the mission? If it's a job, like, is it like what's really holding it together? And then again, we want to make sure as coaches that we're not stepping into trauma that really is cloaked in overfunctioning. So if you fear that your client is on the edge of collapse, or if you notice that there's a lot of shame, if there's a lot of helplessness or dissociation, then you need to refer them out. As a therapist, you can use IFS. So you want to meet the protector part that feels responsible for everyone else. And then you can explore things like childhood enmeshment, trauma-linked roles, and the burnout cycle. So if you have someone that's dealing with this fallacy, we can provide the support to really undo a lot of that parentification and put the control back in their hands. The third fallacy that we talked about was, if I'm not doing this, then who am I? These clients are going to show up, and when you tell them to take a break, they may panic or they feel like they don't have clarity when that role or that title is removed. They over-identify with success, with productivity, or with people-pleasing. And so we see identity fusion, performance-based worth, and fear of invisibility or irrelevance. So as a coach, you're going to use some exercises that may really help anchor them and anchor their identity. Who are you when you're not producing? Simply having that conversation. And then you want to start having some legacy conversation with them. What kind of person are you becoming outside of this title? for clinicians, doing things like somatic work, EMDR, to process the body's fear response to stillness can be very helpful. And then using IFS to differentiate performer parts, right? The parts that want to perform from who they actually are. As a coach, you can challenge false identity scripts, but deep identity trauma, deep identity work, therapy. This is when we're referring people out. The final one is this is my cross to bear. Okay, I'm gonna carry my cross and the Lord's cross, those clients, right? We see in these clients endurance, even though they're exhausted, spiritualizing their suffering, minimizing their pain. And so there's a martyr complex here that has to be addressed. There's a learned self-sacrifice as proof of faithfulness, and then confusion between sanctification and codependency. So again, as a coach, we can reframe this. Is this discomfort? Is this discomfort because you're being refined, or is it a red flag? And then walking them through that situation. And then we want to make sure that we are utilizing proper theology. So you can even challenge their theology. Do you believe that God needs you to suffer in order for you to grow? Suffering is a part of it, but you don't need to suffer. All of the trials and tribulation that we deal with aren't suffering for suffering's sake. If there's persistent suffering, like all you do is suffer, even Job got a break at the end. Like, we have to make sure that we're challenging their theology. As a therapist, then we can unpack any religious trauma, any toxic theology, and then we can use cognitive restructuring to challenge any spiritualized masochism. If you feel, as a coach, if you feel like a client feels shame around rest, if they feel shame around joy, or if they quote scripture to justify burnout, refer them. Please refer them. There's deeper work that needs to be done. And so what I wanted to do was, now that we've gone through these fallacies, really give you a framework that you can utilize to assist you in getting to the bottom of this with a client. And we're going to call it the FACT framework, F-A-C-T, the FACT framework. So first, you want to start with identifying that familiar pattern. So you're going to start with the pattern of recognition. What keeps repeating in your client's life? What default roles or behaviors do they slip into under pressure? This is going to help you identify what autopilot mode their brain and body have adopted. Then we're going to look at attachment. So you want to ask, what emotional need is being met by staying here? Are they attached to recognition? Are they attached to control, validation, certainty? This is going to expose what they're actually protecting and what fear might be underneath that. Next is consequence. So you don't want to let the session only be theoretical. We have to bring in some practical costs. What is this costing them? Are they exhausted? Are they resentful? Are they disconnected from God? Are they physically unwell? Once we make it tangible, that pain often is going to bring clarity. And then we have truth. So then we want to ask, what would alignment look like for you now? What decision would reflect your values in this time in your life, not just the past? What decision reflects your values for this version of yourself? Not the ones that you've adopted, not the ones that have been thrown on you, but your actual values. And this is where we can start helping them build courage. This doesn't have to be anything dramatic. It just has to be honest. So, familiar pattern, attachment, consequence, and then the truth. And what I love about the framework, the FACT tool, is that it works for your faith-based clients as well as secular clients. So if you are dealing with a client who may not be overtly a believer, you can still utilize this framework. So instead of using language like obedience, you can say alignment. Instead of saying calling, you can say values or integrity. And instead of, you know, God hasn't released me, saying something like, I feel emotionally obligated, even though this still isn't working. And you can still, what I like to say, take the principle of the word and still operate in practice. You don't have to quote scripture in order to practice faith-based therapy, coaching, etc. And you don't have to violate nobody's ethics. Just utilize the principles, because the principles of the word work. And so you're still ministering to your clients that way. I want you to really know and be confident in the fact that you can't walk people into alignment if you're still functioning out of fear yourself. Okay, we're going to turn the mirror back to us. Be confident in knowing that this is not going to work for them if you haven't done this yourself. So if you're holding on to old systems because they were profitable, or because you're known there, or because you don't want to let anybody down, you're modeling disobedience and not courage. You're modeling operating and staying in familiarity. And so then your voice loses that spiritual authority when your life is shaped by predictability instead of faith. I'm not saying that your life should be all over the place. What I'm saying is, because God is a God of order, so if your life is all over the place, that's not the Lord either. What I'm saying is that you should be practicing what we are teaching. And so I'm going to leave you with some questions for yourself. Where have I mistaken predictability for peace? Where am I still functioning in a space where God has never called me to stay in? And where have I, as a clinician, calling fear faithfulness just because I don't want to start over? Right? That you're not in the role that God has entrusted you in, whether you're a coach, whether you are a spiritual counselor, whether you are a clinician, you're doing more than holding space. God has given you, within the capacity that you're operating in, the ability to interrupt patterns, the ability to disrupt cycles. It's giving deliverance midwife, right? You're walking people into deliverance minus the big service and people falling on the floor and wigs being crooked. Like, this is where a lot of deliverance work can happen. And you don't have to be confrontational in your delivery. The confrontation happens in the honesty. Truth is confrontational enough. And so you have to be honest. So the next time someone sits across from you or on a Zoom and starts describing how tired they are and how they can't let go and how scared they are to lose what they built, you don't have to just nod and empathize. You can really pause. You can ask questions. You can go through this fact framework and interrupt the cycle. Because if you don't, and if we just only provide empathy, and we don't provide empathy and truth, or as the Bible tells us as believers, because if you're here listening, you are a believer, we're going to provide the truth in love. So I can have empathy for where you are because I've been there before. And also, I can't let you stay there. And we want to operate within ethics, and we don't want to be traumatizing to people. And also, I can't let you stay there. So asking the questions, interrupting the cycle, because if you don't, they're going to stay in what's familiar and they're going to think that it's faith. But you have been called to lead people back into alignment, even when it's unfamiliar. And so my prayer is that this framework and the tools that we provide here as we go through all of these episodes will just help you along the journey. This isn't about elevating my own individual voice, but as I am studying the word and as we go into these times that we're in, I know y'all see it. We've seen so many clients who have a level of anxiety, political anxiety, due to what's happening. And we have to be able to collaborate together and operate as a body. And I'm just talking about coaches, clinicians, therapists. Like, we have to operate as a body, as a unified body. And my prayer is that the space that we're creating here is one that makes room for that. And so I pray that you enjoyed this. Make sure you click the link in the show notes so you can get your clinician's support toolkit. If there are anything or any topics that you want to discuss on these bonus episodes, hit me up, email me. You can join us over in the Purpose Collective. I'm working on creating a space for coaches and therapists and clinicians. So make sure that you download the clinician's toolkit, because when you do that, the minute that I'm doing anything that is clinician forward, you will get the email for that. But friend, I love you. God bless you. Thank you for the work that you do. If nobody has told you, because it's hard out here sometimes. Okay. Thank you for the work that you do. And I pray that you enjoy this episode. I'll talk to you next week. Hey sis, you are not crazy, lazy, or ungrateful. You are just overloaded. You know something is off, but trying to figure out what it is feels like something else that you just don't have the capacity for. And that's why I created the Spiritual Wellness Check-In. This is not a quiz with cute personality anecdotes, but this is a clinically informed screening tool that helps you identify what kind of support you need right now without any of the guesswork. In under 3 minutes, you'll know whether you need to refocus, reconnect, or recover, and you'll get access to the tool to help you get started. Head on over to rxforpurpose.com/check-in. That's rxforpurpose.com/check-in, or click the link in the show notes to get started today. You don't need more suggestions. What you need is strategic support, and the Spiritual Wellness Check-In will help you with just that.